Good evening. This is Deborah Herman, and you're listening to Soul Odyssey Radio. And each week on Thursday evenings, we are talking about different topics that affect your spiritual path. And how we measure it is what I call the process of Soul Odyssey. It's a mystical process that actually gives you tools to change your life on a pretty permanent basis if you're able to understand and use the tools and take control of your thinking process to understand that the only thing that you really can control is the way you think about things. But added to that, because that's really one of those sayings that many, many people say, where you can listen to them and say, okay, well, now what does that mean? What do I do? Well, the Soul Odyssey process comes along with a handy-dandy list of 7 lessons that are intended to guide your soul. And each week we talk about the 7 lessons. We may focus on 1 or 2, and we put them in the context of a topic, and we try to learn how to use them in our own lives, because if we can see how our circumstances fit within these lessons, then we can be aware of what our individual vulnerabilities are. Because the more we know, the more we can live in truth and light and authenticity. It's all of those little hidden thoughts, hidden messages, unconscious behaviors that are based on feelings from long ago without relevance to today that trip us up. So this is a process of gaining self-awareness. Now, some of you who have been regular listeners, and I welcome you back, you already know this is live call-in. I welcome your questions, your comments. If you are not talking about something related to tonight's topic, don't worry, I'll bring it back. That's why I'm here. I'm the segue host, and really whatever's on your mind, you're invited. This is also your show. The number here is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And a little bit of preliminary business. From now on, if you want to look me up or look up my website, I recommend that you go through leapfish.com. Leapfish is an amazing new search engine. I like it because it organizes everything right in front of you. And you can, if you research a particular word, it'll give you answers from different search engines all in one place. And you can go on Facebook and all these other things all from one page. And for someone like me who tends to be somewhat distractible, it's really a great thing. And you can go on Google from Leapfish. Try me from Leapfish, because I think you'll find that everything is all in one place. My website is www.soul-odyssey.com. And don't forget that dash, soul-odyssey.com. And on that website, you'll see all my information. If anybody's interested in speaking with me privately, I have all that on there. I'm hoping at some point to make it more interactive. But for now, you can also see me on Facebook under Deborah Levine Herman, and that's enough business. Let's get back to the business of growing our souls. Tonight, the topic is letting go of fear. Now, you would automatically think that that relates to the lesson of courage. The 7 lessons, I will repeat these until you're saying them in your sleep, are courage, tolerance, self-protection, self-love, ego, love of humanity, and God-love. And usually during the show, we only have an hour, we can't go through all 7 at once, but we are able to focus a little bit on them so that we can put everything into an illustration that we can all understand and discuss together. So you would think that the issue of fear would automatically relate to courage. It does relate to courage, but it also relates to the lesson of self-love. And it also most definitely relates to the lesson of God-love, because the opposite of fear is faith, and the opposite of fear also is love. And if you're able to think of it in those terms, when you find yourself becoming fearful, you can say to yourself, okay, I have to look at this from a perspective of, where am I not being loving? Am I not being loving to myself? Am I succumbing to old feelings that are not facts? Am I not being loving to someone else, which would mean, am I judging them? Am I shutting down, trying to avoid intimacy, which stems from fear? And also, am I not showing people my authentic self, again, because of fear, of wanting to be protected? It's self-protection, but not in a healthy way. It's wanting to avoid getting into situations that make us feel uncomfortable or anxious or fearful. You know, fear in itself is not a bad thing. Fear saves lives. You know, if we didn't have that ability to have fear, then many of us would probably not live past the age of 5. We have an instinct to stay away from things that don't feel right. Also, if you're psychically aware, sometimes a little bit of the hackles raising and that sense of foreboding, that's a very good use of fear. I didn't get a chance to interview my wonderful mystic wonder horse Tonk today, but we connected long distance psychically, and I just asked him a little bit about fear, because from a horse's perspective, you know, they look like they're very fearful. Well, what they have is an automatic they have a flight instinct because they are prey. They're not an aggressive animal. There isn't anything that they, you know, they're total vegetarians. And so if they hear something that sounds like it could pose a threat, they'll run. And that's why if you're someone who rides, you know, you always, horse people, we talk about, you know, trail horses that don't spook. And that means, you know, they're used to things happening that are a little bit different. They don't automatically feel like it's going to be dangerous. You know, they trust the rider, they trust the environment, but you can't be guaranteed. You know, with my horse, I've seen a kitten climb up his tail and he never even swatted. It didn't bother him at all. But one time, accidentally, his halter got caught on a pipe. And just for a moment, he felt that he was stuck, and it totally freaked him out. And, you know, so you never know. So we are all given this instinct of flight, and human beings are also given the instinct of fight or flight. If we're feeling threatened, then we're going to have that adrenaline rush. And we're going to have, you know, a sense of wanting to defend ourselves for our survival. And also, as I don't have to tell the audience, but I will point it out perhaps in a different way than you're used to thinking about it, but if you look at our environment today and the levels of stress and the pressure and all of the input, even the images that we see every day on television, even in movies, if you're a sensitive person, your spirit, your mind often tracks that as your inner reality. And so you are inadvertently engaging your fight or flight reflex, even though you may not be in imminent danger. You're feeling the stress around you, the pressure around you. If you're seeing, you know, I saw recently, I saw The Hurt Locker, and it won awards for a very good reason. But I need to be very careful in seeing movies like that because I am not one who can suspend reality. I get right into the movie, and I left feeling like I had been through a war, and I felt very agitated. And, you know, that I have to realize, you know, for me, being a sensitive person and, with all of my spiritual gifts, that sometimes, you know, I just have to really prepare and shield and just know, you know, and talk myself out of it so that I'm not all freaked out. So that's an aspect of instinctive response to fear. But what we're having more so now than probably, I can't really compare to what it was like, you know, thousands of years ago, because I mean, I have a quote from 59 before the Common Era from Titus, I'm sure I won't pronounce this correctly, Livy, a Roman historian who died in the year 17, who said, "We fear things in proportion to our ignorance of them." So obviously the idea of fear and it being a problem is, you know, is as old as time or as old as human consciousness. But I believe that now we are living in a fearful state that is very detrimental to the kind of future that we want as human beings. And it's influencing everything we do. It's influencing all of our decisions. It's influencing whether or not we feel that we can survive, that we can be prosperous. And a lot of it, you know, we're influenced again by the images around us, and we're influenced by other people's fear, and that influences the economy and spending and jobs, and everything becomes a cycle. And when we're living in fear, it feeds fear, and it makes us vulnerable to negative forces, whatever you believe that to be. Whether, you know, it's energy, some people believe it's actual beings. I'm personally not a person. As I've been on my spiritual path, I've kind of been told by spirit that dealing with UFOs and ETs, at least for now, is kind of like not my territory, because your mind can totally just be overloaded with so many things. But of course, it's part of the whole idea of what is the bigger picture for us as human beings. And I have friends who are very, you know, very knowledgeable. And so, of course, I can't be completely separated from it. And, you know, we had the book, The Grays, at my house. I think my husband read it and left it, and I kept looking at it and saying, no, I don't really want to read this. But for any of you who have read it, it's I'm only not even a halfway through. And if any of it is true, it's some pretty, you know, it's kind of scary stuff. But what it's about is, of course, that there may be an alien race that is trying to connect with our ability to feel, because they lost their ability to feel because they became more mechanized and their environment was destroyed. And so they have technology and they have certain human characteristics, but they do not have souls. They do not have feelings. They do not have emotions. They don't have the brain, the frontal cortex, or whatever it is that causes human beings to be human beings. And so the idea is that they basically can feed off our feelings. Well, you know, whether that is true or is not true, it certainly corresponds with the theory that if there are negative forces or negative energies, that they would grow and survive and thrive based on our fears and our emotions and our anger and all of those very, very deep emotions that cause us to be out of balance with ourselves and with the universe. So, you know, that's one reason I'm I think I've been directed to start talking about the issue of fear, because if there are, if there is negativity in the universe that is creating an imbalance such that people who are light workers or who are on a spiritual path need to find a way to shield and prevent themselves from being derailed, the best path and the best way is through your spiritual growth. And it's through your ability to see that fear is an illusion. And, for example, if there are such things as grays, if you are a spiritual person who is not afraid of them and who's not afraid, who is filled with faith and love and connection to the divine energy, there's no way that something like that is able to penetrate you, or to, you know, steal your energy or anything like that. And it's the same way if you believe in a concept of, you know, negative energy as I said, as creating an imbalance. You know, I'm careful how I word these things, because we all come from so many different perspectives. But the one truth that I have, or that I believe, is that we are in a time when positive and negative energy is basically, the positive energy is fighting for balance, the negative energy is fighting for imbalance, thus blocking the positive energy. Because people who understand the workings of the universe know that there needs to be dark and light. There needs to be a balance, for the, you know, the existence of the universe, but that, you know, light needs to grow and prevail, and we need to be able to grow on our path, and to understand that we're in charge of how we view things and how we respond to things. Just so I can take a sip of tea, I'm going to remind you that this is Life Call-In. I welcome your comments, your questions. It's 888-815-9756. And I'm going to give you another quote. Now, I find these miscellaneous quotes, and I just love them, because they say so well. You know, they're such a good segue for me into various points, but I do have to admit, some of these people, I have no idea who they are. So I always have to look them up. But here's a quote from Elbert Hubbard. Now, that's not to be confused with L. Ron Hubbard. This is Elbert Hubbard. He lived from 1856 to 1915. He was a United States author, and he actually died during the sinking of the Lusitania. So he had an interesting transition into the afterlife. But he said that the greatest mistake you can make in life is to be continually fearing that you will make one. And this is a perfect segue to my talking about the relevance of fear to the self-love lesson. Because I often describe the self-love lesson to audiences when I'm teaching this class, that the lesson of self-love often causes a person to never get out of the gate. Sometimes when I teach writers about this lesson in the context of the challenges of being a spiritual messenger as a writer, you know, I say you are going to start looking around and seeing what other people are doing. You're going to compare yourself to them. You're going to feel inadequate. And then you are going to be so afraid of failing, or of making a mistake, or of doing something wrong, or embarrassing yourself, or humiliating yourself, that you don't even do it. And that is, you know, that's where the fear should come in, is that we're going to be making mistakes, and we don't want to, so we don't do anything at all. And so let that be a lesson to you. Go for it. If you feel that you are compelled to do something, the people, I've been a literary agent for about 20 years, although I work more in the creative and editorial aspects of it, I will tell you that the people who are getting published are those who show up and who write the books. And, you know, I have my own issues around that because I've been working on, you know, pulling together all of my projects for a very long time. And, you know, so I'm certainly not immune. I always teach what I've had to learn myself. And I think that's why, you know, woman plans and God laughs. I've always had to learn my lessons the hard way. And so the lesson of self-love is totally tied into fear. You mustn't be afraid that you're going to make a mistake because you are here on earth to make mistakes. This is a classroom. This is why you're here. You're here to experiment, not where you know that doing something is going to be harmful. You know, gee, let's experiment. We're in college. Why don't we drink, you know, as much alcohol as will put us in a coma? No, that's like stupid. That's not the point. The point is that if you know that something seems right for you and you want to try it, don't hold yourself back. Don't think that you're going to fail God. You know, don't think that you're going to fail anyone else. You need to find your authentic voice, and it's in there. Your divine inner voice is within you, and that's your job, is to find it. It's your job to find your courage. It's your job to understand tolerance. It's your job to learn to protect yourself in an appropriate way through boundaries and through learning to discern, you know, who's good for you, who's bad for you on an energetic level, who can you trust, who can't you trust. Self-love is, you know, really learning and understanding that you're worthy of love from humans and of God. Ego, do you want to be the messenger or the message? And, of course, if you're struggling with an ego lesson, you probably don't know it, and you'll be the first to deny it. But believe me, anyone around you who's sensitive at all will know. And if they love you, they'll tolerate it unless you, you know, cross some boundaries or become too obnoxious. Then, of course, they'll reflect it to you, which is good. Love of humanity, that lesson is one that is so vital because we need to connect. We need to connect people who are of high vibration so that we can help with healing people who are awakening and who are a little younger on the path. We need to understand that all people are of the same origin. Some of us, you know, may be starting out in our journey. Some of us may just be waking up to the fact that there is a journey. But we are all of the same source. And so, you know, then go back through the lessons. Tolerance. We need to learn not to judge each other. I always notice that if I'm, you know, well, my husband and I have a joke that he's always at the same level of obnoxious, you know, but if I start really becoming annoyed, he said, but I was just as obnoxious yesterday. And I actually have to look at myself and say, okay, am I starting to project outward and am I starting to be judgmental? Now, he's not actually obnoxious. He's actually very funny. But there are times in any relationship that you're going to start focusing your needs, your anxieties, your fears on the person who's closest to you, and you're going to be judging them. And you're going to, instead of looking at yourself and feeling the feelings that you have, your true feelings, you're going to start pointing the finger and saying, you know, you didn't do this, or why do you always do that? And then you ought to step back and say, am I being judgmental? You know, so all of these things tie in. And, of course, the biggest lesson is surrendering to a sense of God, whatever you believe that to be, or if it's a force, or if it's internal, or if it's a path, something higher than yourself, something that unifies the goodness in people, the compassion in people, the empathy in people, all of the things that make us see through the masks and the illusions from one person to another. so that we can be brothers and sisters. That's why we're here too. The problems that we're having in our physical world are human problems. And so many of them can be used as reasons for us to step up our game and to find out what we're really made of. And that helps us on our path as we are helping others. Again, this is live call-in. You're all quiet out there. I hope it's because you're enjoying the show. If you are enjoying the show, please do let me know. I can be reached at my website. It's soul-odyssey.com, on my Facebook at Deborah Levine Herman. I love your feedback regarding the show, and I certainly would love, if you don't feel comfortable calling into a radio show, I certainly welcome your emails so that I can address and answer some of them on the air. So, again, it's 888-815-9756. Also, one of the things that we are fearful of is standing out and being humiliated, embarrassed, not being able to fit in, you know, having people talk behind our backs. Well, good for them. You're not going to be able to blend. If you're a person on a spiritual path, and if you are perhaps an indigo person or a crystal person, and I don't have the definitions, but I know likely I are one, likely you are one, or maybe we're just awakening to this set of initiations so that we can bring through the higher energies that are going to change the course of our future and are going to help us restore balance in the planet, Gaia. You know, all of our different traditions are joining together, and, you know, we can learn from each other, from different cultures, all of the missing pieces. It's like, you know, I didn't have to grow up in an environment that involved, you know, I didn't have to grow up, for example, as a Native American. Yet I am very interested in Native American culture, spirituality, and, you know, all of the mystical books and quotes, because it's part of everyone's spiritual heritage. The basis of it, it's the mysticism, it's the truth that transcends one culture to another. And, you know, so I grew up in my environment, and it brings me to where I am. So, you know, to, again, quote Titus Livy or whatever, Livy, the Roman historian, we fear things in proportion to our ignorance of them. So on your spiritual path, read, learn, engage, ask questions, be open, even if you feel that you're not going to fit in with your neighbors, I guarantee you behind their doors, they don't feel like they fit in. And nowadays, when people used to be able to keep up with the Joneses are probably in debt. And everybody is feeling the crunch and the pinch. And so we can't hide behind our externals anymore. We can't hide behind who's got the biggest, you know, flat screen TV. We have to see each other as human beings, and it problems hit right next door or in your own backyard. Somebody once told me you can't judge your insides by other people's outsides. So if you're looking to fit in, but yet you're compelled to go in a spiritual direction, or you have these fascinations with things that are not, which are, to me, perfectly normal. I don't really like the words new age or paranormal, but those are terms we need to use because people think that we're on the fringe. We're not on the fringe. We just have, human beings have just forgotten. We've just forgotten where we come from. and who we've been in our past generations. Somehow it just got lost, but it's in our cellular memory. And so if you're thinking that you're just going to fit in, and then go back to sleep. If you want to, go back to sleep. Become a drone. Disengage. You have the free will and the right to do that. But chances are you're not going to be happy that way. And your creative spirit and your heart and soul and your connection to God and the universe is going to continue to tap on your head at night. It's going to wake you up. And it's going to create this struggle within you to where you will want to pursue learning and understanding and awakening, because it's the only way you're going to be happy. I have an acquaintance who is a young man who I'm convinced just was born, he reincarnated awake. He's an amazing metaphysician. He knows things that I'm sure he hasn't read in books. And he's brilliant, but he's so afraid, because he's young, he's so afraid of not fitting in and of not being able to, you know, I guess play with his friends type of thing, that he just wants to suppress all of it. But he's not going to be happy, and he's going to have to ultimately reengage and find people that are like him. But right now, he's blatantly said, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to pretend I'm something else. Well, good luck to that. Didn't work for me. I doubt if it works for many people. And here's an awesome quote from Bertrand Russell. He was a British author, a humanist, a mathematician, a pacifist, just one of those basic big brain people, won the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1950. He was born in 1872, died in 1970. He said, do not fear to be eccentric in opinion, for every opinion now accepted was once eccentric. I don't know, I got caught in that last word. So, in other words, anything that sounds weird now, in 10 to 20 years, is going to be the norm. It's not going to sound weird. And you can see, even in the last 20 years, you know, when I was getting started with things, there were, I mean, nobody talked about recycling. I mean, we talked about it, but people weren't recycling the way we are now, which is such a blessing. Nobody talked about living green and sustainability, except for the people who were on the fringe, who were the alternative people. And a lot of it started in the 60s and 70s with people who were, you know, the hippies. They were called hippies, and they were exploring Eastern philosophy and Eastern religions. Well, now that it seems very common, that's what people do. We're all exploring. Nowadays, people will say, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that is not what you would have heard. You would have heard, what, you know, where are you affiliated? What church do you go to? The church was always the center of the town. You know, what synagogue? You know, there was very little diversity in various communities. We are not far away from the, you know, the Jim Crow laws. We're not far away from, you know, drinking fountains that said, no Jews, dogs, or colored people. I mean, that's not that long ago. You know, it was last century, but we're just into this new century. You know, so those of you who are very young, study your history. Find out where we've come and where we're going, because it may cause you to feel more confident that you are the beginning of something really, really special. And that your lives, although challenging, are being prepared for what's to come. And with every generation, we make changes that improve the lives and the understanding and you know, the existence of the people around us. And most particularly in this generation and now, we are literally changing the energy. The more we learn, the more we grow, the more we expand our individual gifts and try to get out from under our egos, the more we are literally growing our souls and growing the souls of people around us. It's energetic. It's real. And you should all be very proud of yourselves, even if you're struggling, because you're hanging in there and you're listening to a show like this. And whatever you're able to retain or take in or whatever quotes you're going to quote, you know, in the future, this is all part of your path, and you're brave. Even if you think you have a lot of fear, you have courage because you are listening and you are thinking about changing and you're thinking of ways to change your thoughts so that if you run across a situation where you're feeling fearful because you want to do something, you know, like write a book or get out there and try for a new job or take classes, and you feel immobilized. You know, we all can become so paralyzed. When you find that, think about your vulnerabilities and your lessons. If you're a person who has difficulty with self-love, even if you're able to fix everyone else and you're able to love everyone else and you have total faith in God, you may not feel worthy to receive. You may not feel worthy to ask for help. You know, that's a biggie. If you're suffering from, you know, struggling with the self-love lesson, you may not be able to ask for help. And so that's something for you to think about. And Ralph Waldo Emerson, I hope you know who he was, philosopher, poet, essayist, lived in the 1800s, said that knowledge is the antidote to fear. And think about that. Knowledge is the antidote to fear. Now, the people who know me best know that I have a particular fear of dark water. I don't know why. I don't think it's a past life thing. I think it's actually an early childhood thing because there was a time when my family, we were driving in a car and we got stuck in a flash flood. And, you know, my mother had three little kids, and I think that she was probably half hysterical. My mother did tend to be a frightened person. And so I probably, you know, picked up on that, and I didn't know what was coming in, and the water was rising, and it was pretty scary. You know, so it's very possible that I've actually sustained that cellular memory during this life, but I wouldn't rule out a past life. Well, if, you know, we've had a lot of rain, and our water, we live by a river, which is, you know, I guess I'm trying to face my fears, but the river rose to right under this little bridge, and I just said, I'm not going to go near there because seeing that water that way frightens me. But since where I live, we have, now I still haven't gotten over watching Jaws, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time in the ocean. I know I should, but, you know, I was a teenager when that movie came out, so I really blame Steven Spielberg for traumatizing me for life. But we have lakes and things like that, and, you know, there, I guess you could find a snapping turtle or something like that, but thank God for goggles, because now I'm able to go in the water with my goggles so that I can see with my eyes open that there is nothing in there but little cute fish. And so, you know, I'm working on it, because anything that debilitates you in any way is something that you really need to consciously face. And knowledge of it, you know, my ability to see through the water is a wonderful metaphor for, you know, asking the questions and getting the answers. You know, there are just so many things in our lives that frighten us. You know, I will tell you that there is someone did post on Facebook an event where there's a TV show that's asked people if they want to spend one night in a really haunted place. And I will tell you, even though I'm very sensitive and I have mediumistic abilities and I've been known to help people cross over, there is no way that I would do that. And I think I'm in good company because I watched Lisa Williams, the wonderful psychic, on her show where she went into a house that had, you know, a spirit, and she didn't like the energy, and I saw her literally get a frightened look on her face, and she said, "I'm out of here." So, again, a little bit of consciousness. Sometimes fear is not a bad thing. So, you know, you don't have to face every fear. I don't particularly find myself liking alligators, you know, so I went to this alligator zoo and got to see the alligators from above, and I left there not being any less frightened of alligators. But that's why I don't live in the Everglades. Gandhi said that fear is not a disease of the body. Fear kills the soul. And that's why I wanted to talk about it today in the context of your soul lessons, because that is really what it does to us. Because if we're living in constant fear, we're holding back our soul's growth. And we also can't hear the messages that Spirit is giving us and that Spirit is guiding us to do. You know, there's an expression that you're never given tasks that you can't do. You have free will. I mean, if you don't want to do certain things, you don't have to, but sometimes you're given opportunity to do things that you think you can't do. And if you're able to live in a balanced state of faith, and to understand more about how the world actually works from a spiritual and human perspective, you might be able to do more to fulfill your own spiritual mission on Earth. And it may be that you just need to live a happy, balanced life. Not everybody has to be, you know, Joan of Arc or, although when people used to do the past life regressions, I think everybody was Cleopatra and who else? Anybody famous. So I don't necessarily believe that, but, I mean, it's possible. But for me, when I focus on past lives, it's usually in relation to the lessons that you're working on. So, again, you can call. It's 888-815-9756. You know you want to. If you have any questions or anything that you want to ask about fears or letting go of fears or what your soul lessons are, don't be afraid. We can talk about it. And let's see. Madame Curie, the French, Polish-born, however, but the French chemist and physicist who won the Nobel Prize in 1911, says that nothing in life is to be feared, it is only to be understood, and now is the time to understand more so that we may fear less. Now, she must have said that somewhere in the early turn of the century, in the 1900s, that century, and it's as relevant today as it was then. Because we are embarking on journeys that are new to everyone. Everything, you know, everything is changing rapidly. Our technology is changing rapidly. Our thoughts are changing rapidly. Young people are born knowing things that are just astounding. It's almost like they have you know, this expanded consciousness, and I'm sure, again, those people who work extensively with studying about indigo children and crystal children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, so all of you listeners who've had difficulty in your lives because you know, you don't like authority and you know things and you're creative and you don't fit in and you're like a square peg in a round hole, you may just be strange. No, I'm just joking. Chances are you're part of this new, we're all part of this new generation who will bring us into a new wave of understanding and capability. So don't feel bad about it. Don't feel bad about yourselves. Understand that you are totally not alone. And as I said earlier, learn what you can. If you are interested in learning about esoteric philosophy, mysticism, the way things work, you will find that there are books that have been written from centuries ago that are saying the same things that you're now finding in new books that say that they were written, that they're new. You know, I know that a lot of people love the book The Secret, and it was very popular, and it really did a wonderful job in changing people's thinking about things. But a lot of the things in that book, those things were not new. They come from long traditions. People like Ernest Holmes, Science of the Mind, Power of Positive Thinking. But where I think it left off and where you now need to go is from thoughts manifesting and then to action. So I'm giving you words. I'm explaining to you lessons, courage, tolerance, self-protection, self-love, ego, love of humanity, God love. These are words, but they're also tangible. They're living. They're qualities. They're qualities of God in the universe. If you were sitting in a cosmic classroom, that's what your assignments would be. Understand courage. Understand how to find out who you are, your identity, your individual identity, and be willing to face up to all of your fears about being that person, because the path is individual. The path is, you know, you have people who walk parallel, but they don't walk your path because each one of you is a piece of the divine light. And when you finish your cycle, you will return to that divine. You will return. I described it, I think, last week as you hold, let's say, a beautiful feather. Well, you're going to return it when it's time. We have Drew. Drew, hello.
Hi, Deborah. Good evening. This is my first time calling you. I'm glad I've discovered your show.
Oh, I'm so happy about that.
It's sort of synchronistic. I'm calling tonight when you were talking about the past life regression and just the past life experiences. And I've been overwhelmed recently of a situation that's occurring to me of a business partner who, due to financial reasons, has sort of abdicated some responsibilities in a partnership. And because of that, it's put me at odds just with moving forward and trying to resolve some financial settlement issues. And he just keeps coming back and not letting go when it may be a litigation aspect, taking it to court. I do not want to do that. Do you have any insight into that?
So he's abdicated but won't go away?
Yeah, in other words, he basically let go of his responsibilities and abandoned the project, and then he's come back now to claim the goods, so to speak.
Yeah, how about no?
Legally, that's what I'm pursuing. I mean, that's certainly something that
also,
I may have to do. But also,
for you, because you had a relationship with this person, and you have feelings about it. And some of those are mixed feelings. You know, you don't want to get into a state of hostility and anger because those will diminish your strength. But what would be good for you is to pray for detachment and to recognize that this person is not who he was. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
You've got to cut those ties.
Being overwhelmed by it, I can't let go of just being distressed out by it. But by praying for detachment, I can see where that would be a way to just let go and let the issue resolve itself, or let go, let God. I like to use that philosophy.
Yes, and once you detach from it, and you know, it's almost like in this situation, shut down the emotions. You know,
right.
take it from the Godfather. There's business and there's personal. Okay, now it's business, and you can't afford to be personal, because he'll play on the heartstrings and look what we built together and look how we were, and you know, it's not that way anymore. And
right.
you
I'm
have.
I'm not speaking with them anymore. It's all through attorneys now.
But your energy is still connected.
Correct.
Right. So that's why on your end, you have to even do a ritual and take a scissors and, you know, cut some strings and visualize, I am cutting my emotional attachment. Because even if it's through the attorneys, it's like a divorce. And there's no time in a person's life that is more emotional and difficult and painful than going through that kind of separation.
Right.
And
I think it's more anger, too, towards this person. The
right.
more the can of worms is opening up, the more we're realizing it's he's been deceitful and illegal activities
right.
with a lot of other people, not just me.
You know, go watch Godfather. I know that's crazy, but
I'm just
you
not
going to
buy a horse.
Yeah, no, don't buy a horse. See, you've got the wrong message. See, you're in the anger phase. You got the wrong message out of that. No horse heads. But you do need to see how you will have to become detached and cold.
Okay.
You know, because this, if you're going to be emotionally attached to him, it's going to cause the entire process to slow down and to become stuck. The more you cut off your energy that you're giving to it, the quicker it's going to go, and the better it's going
Good.
To go.
Right. So, I mean, do you see where I should give in to any concessions just to let it go away more expediently? Because I'm willing to do that. Just as a here's the settlement, just be done.
You
with
are
it,
not. You're not in the mindset yet. How soon does the decision have to be made?
I mean, it could go much longer, or it could be resolved. It's no real definite time required.
Hopefully give yourself a little bit of time to go through a ritual and to change the energy, and then you will know the answers. Because
okay, great,
you're still
thank
too emotionally
so
caught up in it.
I'm looking forward to hearing more of your show in the weeks forthcoming.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, I hope you'll be a regular listener.
I love CBS, so believe me, I love it. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Well, we got a call now, so we have time for another one. I'm sort of like now feeling warmed up. 888-815-9756. But if not, we're getting close to the end of the hour. Let's see if I have any other cool quotes from my handy-dandy list of quotes. Did I already tell you Mark Twain's? I don't think I did. Mark Twain, and I'm not going to tell you who he is, because if you don't know who he is, then go back to school. All right, he was the U.S. humorist and did, never mind. I'm going to say Huckleberry Hound. You know what I'm talking about. Courage is resistance to fear and mastery of fear, not the absence of fear. So don't feel like you're a coward because you have fear. Remember, fear is given to you as a mechanism for your protection. And it's a perfectly wonderful thing for you to have, but you have to learn how to manage it. That's one of your jobs as a human. And you have to learn when it's appropriate and when it's not. And You know, you have to understand how to manage your emotions, because that's what's going to keep you safe, and that's what's going to keep you clear, and it's what's going to keep you able to hear the information that the universe wants to give you, because all of you have the ability to hear and see and connect with spirit just like I do. You know, I've been at this for a while, and I do, you know, I'll tell my story sometime, or you'll have to read my book. You know, but I mean, I'm born as a mystic, and, you know, this is kind of my path, but all of you are growing, and your energy is growing, and your souls are growing, and you need your greatest defense against anything is to maintain that connection to your faith, and remember that, you know, God's never going to turn away from you. The only time you're going to feel that disconnection is if you turn away and if you pull out the plug. But at any minute, you can, oh, I'm going to sneeze. Okay, false alarm. You can push the plug back into the generator, and you can call upon the angels, you can call upon your guides, you can call people, you can call me, you know, at any time. Just remember, you are not alone. There are people who are the same as you, who feel the same as you, who are going through the same things as you, and you need to find them, and you need to connect with them. Discerning who is right for you, because of course, you know, we're all, not everybody who says they're of light is of light. Just, you know, remember that. That we'll talk one day about self-protection. But you will know and trust your sense of that, and don't isolate, reach out, so that you will know that there is nothing to be afraid of, except if there is. So, but you know what I mean. There's nothing truly to be afraid of, because it's all an illusion, and you are protected by God and the universe. So I bid you farewell for the week. This is your host, Deborah Herman, with Soul Odyssey Radio. You can find me here same time every Thursday, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. You all have to figure out your own time zones. I'm sorry about that. I hope to hear from you, and blessings for a wonderful week. Good night.